Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, the Word of God says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And let's pray. Lord, thanks for the powerful scriptures we read. And of course, we could easily go verse by verse through this chapter and receive much edification from it. So many great verses in the book of Galatians. But tonight, just these powerful verses and the simple truth to go along with it. And I pray you'd encourage our hearts, warn us, encourage us, and Lord, help us as we look to the harvest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So today was Harvest Day. This morning we celebrated the end of our harvest days, the last Sunday of October here being our Harvest Day. And we had some games outside, the pumpkin pinata. I saw a lot of aggressions being taken out on those poor pumpkins. I went up to one parent and said, I'm worried about what I saw as your children were beating that pumpkin. I saw some serial killer tendencies, and I'm worried. And the parents said, you have no idea. No. But we had a good time, the beating on the pumpkins and then playing a little cornhole. And then the treats today were outstanding, just all the different fall treats and the cider and the coffee and the candy apples, caramel apples, all of that. So what a great day. So many pumpkin things that we had, the squash soup, just excellent job. And I always enjoy whenever we can get a little extra time after church and fellowship. And I'm thankful that the Lord gave us a good day. The sun peeked out, gave us a beautiful time to be outside. And I love the fall weather and the time that we can spend together on our harvest days. But this morning I was planning on preaching originally the message called The Harvest of Life. And as I was studying this message, I kind of got wrapped up in the book of Galatians, and I wanted to just do an introduction to the message, but God pulled me off my original thinking and had me preach the lesson this morning about the two major false doctrines that God deals with in Galatians, and I pray that was a blessing to you, because they're still rampant today in Christendom. These same false doctrines are still alive and well. But tonight, having all of that as an introduction, we come to Galatians chapter 6. And in this chapter, God just gives some very practical advice on how to personally live the Christian life. Take verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And so the entire book deals with false doctrine, but imagine being a Christian in one of the churches of Galatia and you still believe right, and you're watching people start buy into these false doctrines and the church start to change and the church leadership begin to start preaching these things. And imagine the people that were there saying, this isn't what God wants. How do I help? And so God begins to speak to the individual here in Galatians chapter 6 and how we practically work out the Christian life. And so verse 1 is a blessed verse. Verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And so what an amazing verse that we ought to be loving one another and helping one another and bearing one another's burdens. And we talked about the law, that you don't get saved by adding the law to salvation. You don't become a complete or perfected by adding the law to your Christian life. That's done through the sanctification of the Spirit. But yet, we fulfill the law when we love God with all our hearts and we love our brother as ourselves. And so, bearing one another's burdens. In verse 3, a warning about pride. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And that's still a good warning for us today, isn't it? And then verse 4, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another." So the Bible says, listen, don't get proud in lifting up yourself and thinking more of yourself than you ought to, but at the same time, learn to rejoice and take pleasure in proving your own worth. Be a hard worker at the job. Be a good employee. Be a good husband. Be a good wife. Be a good child. Whatever situation God's placed you in, prove yourself as a child of God. Prove your own work, and then you can rejoice in yourself. Not a proud, lifted up rejoicing, but just a rejoicing that says, I believe God's pleased with that. I believe I did a good job with that because that's what God would want. And there is that confidence, that pleasure that you take in pleasing the Lord and in being that type of person. And then verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. We all have burdens to bear. Don't let your burdens become reasons why you quit. Don't let your burdens become reasons about why you're not living up to your potential. You do what God wants you to do in your place in life, in your situation. And see how Galatians chapter 6 now switches from dealing with false doctrine to really beginning to narrow down on how do you individually live the Christian life. I love this chapter. Look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So to communicate means to give, to be generous. Learn the word and then learn to teach the word. Don't keep all the knowledge God's given you to yourself, but learn to give it out. Learn to share what God has taught you. And of course, that should be in every relationship of your life. But through the church, you can begin to work in a ministry. You can join a bus route. You can work in the nursery. You can work in children's church, Sunday school, nursing homes, master's clubs, soul winning. All of these things are just ways where you make yourself available for God to use you and what He's taught you, and you pass that on to someone else. But then we get into the warnings and the promises of verses 7 through 9. And here's what I want to stop. We could easily go through the rest of this verse, and I encourage you to do the study on your own. But here we have verse 7, a stark warning, strong warning, be not deceived. Why does God say that? Because a lot of people are deceived. Be not deceived about what? God is not mocked. Now that word mock doesn't mean to make fun of, like, as a younger brother, we learn to mock our older sisters, amen? I mean, this is just, how many of you have an older sister? And I'm so sorry. But you have an older sister, and you just need to mock. And so she would say, stop doing that. And I'd say, stop doing that. And she'd say, Mom. And I'd say, Mom. She'd say, Oh, my hair looks so bad today. I mean, just that's type of mocking where you're just getting on someone's nerves, making fun of them, imitating them in a derogatory manner. But this verse isn't talking about imitating God in that way. Let there be light, God says. Let there be light. Let there be light. I mean, that's not what God's saying, right? What God's saying is, though, you can't imitate God in the fact of don't get deceived believing that you are the God of your life. God is not mocked. He cannot be imitated. There is one God, and there's one creator, and there's one judge, and He's not you. And what's the warning here? If we're not careful, we begin living like we are the boss. We begin living like we decide what's right, and we decide what's wrong, and then pretending like we can manage the consequences of our decisions, but be not deceived. God is not mocked. You don't decide right. You don't decide wrong. You don't decide the consequences. That's God's job. Right? And then look what it says. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In what ways do we mock God? I'm going to sow bad, and I'm going to somehow work it out to get good. And God says, be not deceived. It's not going to happen. I'm going to sow evil, and I'm going to reap goodness. And God says, no, you're not. I'm going to sow hatred and reap love. And God says, no. Because God's promise is that whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. Now you get to decide what to sow, but you don't get to decide what to reap. That's what God decides. So be not deceived. God is not mocked. You plant corn, you're going to reap corn. You plant beans, you're going to reap beans. Because God said so. And this is the stern warning that God has allowed us to choose what to plant. So choose wisely. And I want to give you just three words this evening in dealing with the harvest of your life. Because whether you know it or not, God likens your life to a field. And you are planting every day. And you're going to reap whatever you plant. You say, I don't like where my life is today. Then change what you're planting. You can do that. But you can't change it once it's in the ground. That's God's business. And so let me give you three words when it comes to the harvest of your life. I grew up in a farming community. I was not a farmer. But thank God for the farmers that do. I grew up in a county where there's more cows than there are people. And there's more fields. Where I grew up, and some of you have been there, we've taken different trips back there before, and we probably will again here one of these days. But you drive and you get off the interstate, and you're just in fields. And then big farmhouses with a lot of land. Land out there is cheap. So around here, you got little bitty pieces of land. Out there, everybody's got, I mean, you get in the country, and everybody's got acreage just because it's cheap. I mean, even now, you can buy land for $10,000 an acre. Around here, it would be $150,000 an acre, depending on where it's at. And so, and you have fields. So you'll have a little town, like Jasonville is a little town where I grew up. And then about 10 miles to the south, you have Linton. And between that, there's just pastures and fields and houses. And then if you go east of that, you drive a long time and you just see pastures and cornfields until you get to another little town. And if you drive west of that, you get to a town called Himera, which is another just little town on the dot. And between there, you've got houses and land and pastures and fields. And so I grew up in a place where this is just the normal thing. There were even when you weren't a farmer, you understood the cycle of planting and harvesting, and things were planted in the spring and they were harvested in the fall. And then some things you would harvest, you would plant later in the season and then harvest them. But there was always this cycle of planting and harvesting. And if you planted corn, you expected corn. If you planted soybeans, you expected soybeans. If you planted winter wheat, you would expect to get winter wheat. Nobody planted corn and said, I wonder what I'm going to get when it pops out of the ground. I wonder what it's going to be. But see, we live differently, don't we? We say, well, I'm going to live like this today, and then I hope it turns out okay tomorrow. And God says, no, you'll get back exactly what you planted. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And so I want to give you three words when it comes to the harvest, then we'll go to the house tonight. In the harvest of your life, I want you to first plan the harvest. Plan the harvest. Before you plant, you have to decide what you want to come up on the other end. And you need to look at your life right now, whether you're a teenager, a child, you can look and say, what do I want my life to look like when I'm 20 and 25 and 30? And when I get really old and I hit 40, what do I want life to look like? And listen, you're not going to live like the devil for the next 10 years of your life. Be a rebellious teenager, smoke and drink and run around and be immoral, and then marry the love of your life and have a bunch of money when you're about 25. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But kids nowadays are taught, sow your wild oats. It's what everybody else is doing. Somehow it'll just all work out down the road. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so you say, well, I want to be in church 10 years from now, but you don't want to be in church today. Maybe you gave your parents a hard time coming to church tonight. Better be careful what you're planting. See, you got to plan. If you're here tonight and you're in your 30s, you need to look down and say, what do I want my life to look like when I'm in my 50s? If you're in your 50s, you need to say, what do I want my life to look like when I'm in my 70s? If you're in your 70s, you need to say, what do I want my life to look like when I'm 100? You say, I'm not going to make it that long. And some people do, amen. But what do you want it to look like? Because so many people don't plan the harvest. Imagine a farmer saying, well, I don't care what seeds you plant, just get some stuff in the ground. We'll deal with it later. It's not the way it works. And the warning here is that you get to plan your harvest. But remember that whatever you plant is what you're going to harvest. So you get to choose the kind of harvest, the quantity of the harvest, and the quality of the harvest. It's pretty amazing that God gives you that type of freedom, but you will harvest what you plant. That's a warning and a promise. Let me show you a couple things here. Look at Matthew chapter 7. We'll come back to Galatians here. But we're talking about plan the harvest. You need to plan the harvest of your life. And that means you get to choose the kind of seed you get to plant. So you get to plan what you want to bring up. Look at Galatians chapter 7 and, excuse me, yes, thank you, Matthew chapter 7. There is no Galatians chapter 7. If you find it, you got the wrong book. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, the often misquoted verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. So a lot of people use that verse to say, don't judge me, man. I just feel like you're so judgy right now. You know, you ever hear people say stuff like that? This verse is not used so that you can just tell anybody that's convicting you to stop. That's not the purpose of this verse. But this, everyone has been given discernment by God, and you ought to use it. So you have a natural inclination to make an assessments. I believe that's right. I believe that's wrong. But what you need to do is make sure you're making those judgments based on the Word of God, not your personal preferences. And then when it talks about judge not, I can tell you that your actions are wrong based on the Word of God, because that never changes. So sometimes I'll explain to someone, God's not pleased with what you're doing, and they'll say, don't judge me, bro. And I'll say, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what the judge said. See the difference? I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what he said. But now if I get into more than that and I start thinking, well, here's your motivations, and I start reading into it and I start building this story in my mind because, oh, you're doing this because you're evil and you're doing this because of this and you're doing, wait a minute, now God says you've gotten out of your lane. Because only God knows the motivations of the heart. But the warning here is not never judge. We're all supposed to be discerning. But the Bible, look at the verse carefully, judge not, why? That ye be not judged. The next verse explains. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So here's what God's saying. I've given you discernment, but be careful how you use your discernment, because I will judge you like you are judging others. Let me ask you this. Do you want God to treat you like you've been treating other people? Because he will. See, we tend to give ourselves way too much slack and be way too hard on everybody else. Treat people like you want to be treated. That's the golden rule, right? And God's warning is, I'm going to let you decide how you judge, how you interact with people. But you will reap the harvest that you plant. Are you mean? You're going to get meanness. Are you bitter? You're going to get bitterness. Are you harsh? You're going to get harshness. Are you unforgiving? You're going to get unforgiveness. Are you merciful? You'll get mercy. Are you kind? You'll get kindness. Are you loving? You'll get love. Are you friendly? You'll get friends. See, God allows us to choose the kind of harvest. But often we don't think that my next actions are actually planting seeds that are going to come back around to me. We live in such a way without ever connecting what's coming in my future to what I'm doing today. And God's trying to make that connection. Your future depends on today. Your choices today determine what's available to you in the future. And if you don't understand that, you are deceiving yourself. It's the harvest of life. We also get to decide not only the kind, but the quantity. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Y'all are quiet tonight, so you're either under conviction or you are really tired. And I'll just choose conviction because that makes me feel better about myself. This is a convicting thought, isn't it? In Galatians chapter 9, we determine the quantity. Excuse me, not Galatians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And so God says, I'm going to let you determine the quantity. You sow a little, you'll get a little bit back. You sow a lot, you'll get a lot back. Think about this. So God says you get to choose the kind, you get to choose the quantity, and I'm also going to let you choose the quality. Look at Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet. It shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So God's even talking about in how we listen to God's word. Oh, you listen to God's word, you get more out of it. Some of you are here tonight, and you'll leave the exact same way you came. Because your physical ears are hearing my voice, but your spiritual ears aren't hearing God. And others of you will leave different than you came because your spiritual ears are open. And you're saying, God, speak to me. And God says, I'm even looking at how much you're listening, and I'm going to return to you the same measure of how you listen. So you want wisdom? How are you listening? You want guidance? How are you listening? You want to know God's word? How are you listening? Look at verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And this is hard for a lot of people today that have socialistic tendencies. Well, everybody just deserves a little. And God says, no, if you're not taking care of what I'm giving you, why in the world would I give you more? And so God's watching how we hear. God's watching what we have. And in every case, he's deciding our future based on what I'm doing now. That's amazing, isn't it? Look at Luke chapter 6. And look at verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. So if you give mercy, you get mercy. Verse 37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. You say, boy, I just would like some forgiveness. Well, let me ask you, how forgiving have you been of people in your past? See, what we do is we harbor resentment and bitterness, and we say, well, why aren't you forgiving me? It was a mistake. I didn't mean it. Maybe they didn't mean it. Maybe you're a little bit too harsh on them. Pretty sobering thought, isn't it? Then look at verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now remember, you decide the it. God doesn't tell us what the it is. Whatever it is, if you give it, it shall be given unto you. And then notice, you always get back more than you give. So it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. So you decide the kind, you decide the quantity, and you decide the quality. And so, do you want to use a teaspoon to give? Then you'll get a teaspoon back, pressed down, shaken together, flowing over. Do you want to give a gallon? Then you'll give a gallon back, pressed down, shaken together, flowing over. Do you want to give a dump truck? Then you'll get a dump truck back, pressed down, shaken together, flowing over. See, God doesn't care what the it is, and He doesn't care what measure you use, but you better know that whatever it is and whatever measure you choose, that's exactly what you're going to get. Because he that soweth shall also reap. So we see in the connections, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It doesn't matter what the whatsoever is. You decide. But know that that's what you're going to reap. Powerful lesson, isn't it? So knowing all this, we plan the harvest. Why not plan ahead of time what I want my life to look like and then start doing that today? If I know I'm going to need mercy in the future, then I'm going to start being merciful today. If I know I'm going to need kindness in the future, then I'm going to be kind today. If I know that I'm going to probably need help in the future, then I want to be helpful today. There's going to come a time when I'm going to need some extra money. I want to give out extra money today. There's going to be a time when I'm going to need extra prayer. I want to pray for you today. And whatever it is, I want you to look at your life 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years down the road and say, that's what I want my life to look like then, so that's what my life needs to look like today. Isn't that a blessing? Are you going to plant forgiveness? Or are you going to plant bitterness? You decide today. Do you want to harvest love? Then you better plant love. If you plant hate, you're going to reap hate. Do you want down the road to have goodwill or to have malice towards you? Down the road, do you want protection or persecution? Do you want patience or frustration? Do you want kindness or anger? Do you want purity or immorality? Do you want gratitude or do you want envy? Well, preacher, that's all out of my control. Not all of it. Because God says if you plant it today, you're going to harvest it in the future. So I said, number one, plan the harvest of life. And that's the longest point. Let me just say, secondly, number two, plant the harvest you want someday. And I just want to say a word here about intentions versus actions. A lot of us have good intentions, don't we? But what do our actions say? Well, here's what I want, but here's what I'm doing. You better learn to align those two. Here's what I think I should do. Here's what I actually do. You better learn to bring those things together. And this is a battle for all of us. Every single one of us. And the more you know about the Bible, the more challenged you're going to be. And honestly, the more you're going to feel like a failure sometimes because you're not out doing all the crazy things the world's doing, but neither are you quite lining up with where you want to be. And so it's that constant battle with the Holy Spirit's help. I want to plant what I want to harvest. I want to not only have good intentions, but I want to actually do it. So tomorrow you're going to plan on reading your Bible, but are you going to read it? You're going to plan on praying, but are you going to pray? This week you're going to plan on witnessing, but are you going to witness? You're going to plan on bringing a visitor, but are you going to invite anybody? And see, what happens is good intentions make us feel better about ourselves while we continue doing the things we know we ought not do, or not do the things we know we should do. So good intentions are almost like a sedative that lull us to sleep as we go day after day after day planting the wrong things. And we have to learn to be brutally honest with ourselves that I am going to expect myself to plant what I know I should plant. So intentions versus actions. I said, number one, plan the harvest of your life. Number two, plant the harvest that you want. And then I said, number three, protect until you harvest. Protect the field until you harvest. Look back at Galatians chapter 6 as we finish up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look here, then we talk about, what are you going to plant? Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what?
Corruption.
Now what's the flesh? Look over at verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest or made known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So that's the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. That's death. That's rottenness. How many of you would say, "Boy, I want to have a rotten life a year from now. Boy, I want to have a rotten marriage. I want to grow old and be a grumpy, lonely old man." No. Then make sure you're not planting to the flesh, because if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Now look back at verse 8, the rest of it. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then, so to the Spirit, look back at verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, look at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, which harvest would you rather have? The harvest of corruption of the flesh, or the harvest of the Spirit that leads to eternal life? Which would you rather have? Go ahead and answer me. Which would you rather have? Thank one of you. How many of you would rather have the flesh? I want corruption. I want to have a rotten life. How many of you say, I want life eternal? Not to earn everlasting life. I get that through Christ, but I want what I do for God to matter for eternity. I want to have a life that I live tomorrow that's going to matter forever. Well, of course. But watch this. Are you planting what's going to last forever, or are you planting what's going to be corrupt? It's not rocket science. I'm going to get what I plant. And then I said, lastly, protect it. Look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Think about that. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, from the time you plant the seed until the time you harvest the crop, you've got to wait. Right? I remember one of my teachers in college, he had a young daughter at the time, and that spring they had gone out and planted some seeds in their garden. And the next day he was in the kitchen and she went over to the window and she was looking out the window at the garden and she began to cry. And he's like, "Sweetie, what's wrong?" And she's like, "We planted the seeds and there's nothing there." And he began to explain to her, you have to wait. And so every morning he said she would go over and stand by that window. Daddy, there's nothing. You got to wait. Daddy, there's nothing. You got to wait. Daddy, 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 there's a little green thing. Yeah, we got to wait. And see, if you're not careful, here's the danger. You begin to realize, I want good things in my future, and I'm going to reap what I sow. So starting today, I'm going to reap good things today. Tomorrow, I'm going to wake up and my life's going to be different. But you wake up and you got the same old mess. And you said, but I'm doing right. And you wake up the next day and you got the same old mess. And you say, but, and the next day, and the next day. And if you're not careful, you will begin to believe that you doing the good things, you obeying God, doesn't matter. Because you're not reaping the good that you're planting. And it's in that those moments, that length of time between when you plant something good and you receive the benefit of it, that's a dangerous time, because the longer it goes, the more Satan's going to try to convince you, see, it doesn't matter anyway. You're killing yourself and it doesn't matter. You're making all these sacrifices. Look at your buddies at work. Listen to what they did last weekend. You're sitting in church. Look at how hard you're working in your marriage, and your wife made you peanut butter and jelly again. I happen to like peanut butter and jelly. Amen. You begin thinking that it's not working. And so what happens? You go back to planting to the flesh and you reap corruption. But wait. Just about the time you go back and start doing the wrong things, you start harvesting from the good you planted before. So watch this. Here's how sneaky Satan is. Now you're getting blessings even though you're disobeying God. So your mind begins to reason, see, I'm being blessed for doing wrong. I've seen it so many times. People come to church just long enough for their life to start turning around. Just when they start to reap, they go back into the world. And now they're reaping all these blessings from how they've been living until the bottom absolutely falls out. Because they never connected. The good they were reaping was not in spite of their sin. It was simply they didn't wait long enough to connect the blessings they planted back here to the blessings they harvested up here. And so God says, be not weary in well-doing. It will work. If you planted corn, the corn's coming. It may seem like it's a little behind. It may seem like it should have been here yet, but it is coming. And I learned this lesson years ago as a young man. I was coming out of the world and I was making all kinds of sacrifices for Christ. And honestly, I had changed everything in my life. And I won't go into all the details, but I was a 17, 18-year-old young man, and I was just totally changed my life and cut off from friends of a lifetime and stopped going to the parties and all of these things and switched and went to a Christian school my senior year and all of these things. And I'll be honest with you, I was pretty discouraged because I was still in those beginning stages and I hadn't really begun to reap yet. And I was at a teenage meeting, and this is why it's so important that you parents get your kids to these teenage events. Don't ask them if they want to go. Make them go to church. Make them go to youth conferences. Make them go to the camps, because you never know what one sermon is going to change their life. And I was at a camp and I was pretty discouraged, and I went up and I was praying, and a man came up, and a counselor came up and prayed by me, and he said, what can I pray with you about? And I told him, I said, you know, I've been working so hard and I've made so many sacrifices and it's just not working. And he turned to this verse and he explained to me this premise. It's working. It's just not harvest time yet. It's just not harvest time yet. And I went back from that camp, and I'm not kidding, it wasn't too long after that the floodgates just opened. floodgates of blessing. And I wonder what would have happened if I just would have quit a little too soon. So much of life is that way, friends. So many people quit steps away from the victory line because they don't know when God's blessing is going to fall. But the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Very simple message, the harvest of life. Plan the harvest you want in the future. Plant the seed you hope to harvest. Protect the field until the harvest comes. Don't give up. Don't change your mind. Keep going, and the harvest will get here. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The harvest of life. Father, I pray that you'd help us as we seek to understand this. Lord, help me. Remind us all of it. Satan is so tricky. And sometimes we forget to connect the dots between today and tomorrow and what's going to happen in the future based on the choices we make now. And Lord, regardless of where we are in our lives, I pray that you would help us to remember these powerful, life-changing truths, that we plan the harvest, we plant the harvest, and then we protect it until it's time. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if God spoke to your heart. Maybe you've been just living kind of carefree, wondering, well, hey, preacher, what's going on? I'm not sure. Well, have you planned what you want? And then are you planting what you want?